देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये नस्तु प्रेष्वपदेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, chapter 25, text 45. Characteristics of King Paranjana. Saptopari Akrita Dvara. Saptopari Krita Dvara. Puras tasyas tu dve adha. Puras tasya tu dve adha. Krita vishaya gati artam. Krita vishaya gati artam. Tasyam ya kaschanishvara tasyam jasnam ya kaschanishvara saptopari krita dvara purastasya tu dve ada Pritag Vishaya Gati Artam Tasyam Ya Kanchaneshvara Saptopari Krita Dvara Purastasya Tudve Ada Pritag Vishaya Gati Aham Tasyam ya kachaneshvara. Saptopari krita dvara purasasya stude hada tadishaya gatiyatam tashamya kastanishvara saptopari vanafara purasasya stude hada Tasham ya kashanishvara Tapto pari kita dvara Rastasya to deyada Tag vishaya gatana kum Tashayam kashanishvara. Ladies, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, please. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Please go ahead. Purastasya tudvayada Kutakishaya kutinyadham Ladies, Sapta, seven. Upari, up. Krita made. Dvara gates. Pura of the city. Tasha that. Tu then. Dve two. Adha down. Pritak different. Vishaya two places. Gati artam foregoing. Tasham in that city. Ya one who. Kaschana whoever. Ishvara governor. Translation. I don't want to compete with the flower ladies, but if someone could speak to them, maybe it's a little distraction. Of the nine gates in that city, seven were on the surface. Two were subterranean. A total of nine doors were constructed, and these led to different places. All the gates were used by the city's governor. Repeating the verse, of the nine gates in that city, seven were on the surface, and two were subterranean. A total of nine doors were constructed, and these led to different places. All the gates were used by the city's governor. Report. The seven gates of the body that are situated upwards are the two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and one mouth. The two subterranean gates are the rectum and the genitals. The king, or the ruler of the body, who is the living entity, uses all these doors to enjoy different types of material pleasures. The system of opening different gates to different places is still evident in old Indian cities. Formerly, a capital was surrounded by walls, and one passed through various gates to go to various cities or other or towards specific directions. In old Delhi, there are still remnants of the surrounding walls and the various gates known as the Kashmiri Gate, the Lahori Gate, etc. Similarly, in Ahmedabad, there is a Delhi Gate. The point of this simile is that the living entity wants to enjoy different types of material opulences. And to this end, nature has given him various holes in his body that he can utilize for sense enjoyment. Om Agyanati Mirandasha Gyananjana Shakya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Shaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiham Shri Guru Shri Yada Parakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavam Stra Shri Rupam Sagachaktam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Shaitanya Devam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Rara Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Rare Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada was asked once, he was visiting Colombia, and there were some professors there in the audience. So one man asked the existential question. Why does anything exist? Why is there anything? So Prabhupada said he actually couldn't quite understand the question. So the man repeated it. Then Prabhupada said, oh, for pleasure. And then the man couldn't understand that. But actually, pleasure is the reason that Krishna has created all the living entities. We are created for Krishna's pleasure. And of course, Krishna was self-satisfied. He's Satchitananda. He's full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Self-satisfied, but wanting to expand his pleasure, wanting to expand his enjoyment. and essentially share his enjoyment. If a man becomes very wealthy and he builds a big house and maybe he buys a big boat or an airplane like this, he's always throwing some party, always inviting others to come and enjoy his house and his facilities, swimming pool, airplane, etc. like this. So Living Anthony is not different from Krishna in that respect. Krishna also enjoys and wants to expand his pleasure by inviting others to enjoy with him. So he expands himself into the first form of his first incarnation. His first expansion is Lord Balaram. Next expansion is Radharani. So like this, he has different facilities, and he creates different personalities and different entities to enjoy with him. And this is his idea. He wants pleasure. God wants pleasure. We also want pleasure. But mistakenly, the source of all pleasure must be adhered to. We must stick to the source of all pleasure. If we go and look for pleasure in sources in things apart from Krishna, we'll not be getting the satisfaction that we desire. You have to excuse me. Our happiness in this life and in the next depends on our creating a union. Again, uniting with Krishna as his servant, as his friend, as his lover. It's very essential that we come to that realization and that we give up our attempts to enjoy separate from Krishna. This is the essential understanding of Krishna consciousness, that Krishna has to be in the center. I remember when I first became a devotee, when I first looked at Krishna consciousness, went to the temple and so forth, and then I would discuss against my with my non-devotee friends. And they thought that the Krishna conscious lifestyle was very nice, and food was very nice, living together communally, that was very nice. But why did Krishna have to be every third or fourth word? You know, why is it always about Krishna? The devotees would be a little fanatic. They would be so absorbed in what does Krishna want. So it was a bit of a shock. I remember in my first impressions, I had some friend who was a bit of a debauchee like me, and he became a devotee. His wife became a devotee, then he became a devotee. And his whole demeanor changed. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Went through a period of disbelief and practically stunned amazement. How is it possible? But there he was. He was doing all these different things, and Krishna was the center of his life. And it was very, very beautiful, very exciting to see. Eventually, I was fortunate. I came to the point of reading Prabhupada's books in order to try to dissuade my friend from his activities in Krishna consciousness. I'll learn how to defeat this philosophy, and then I'll dissuade my friend. But I was hooked myself. So we get some very, very good fortune sometimes, despite our unwillingness, our causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna. Sometimes he tricks us, and we can consider that that is a very, very great benediction. So Krishna, he's expanded himself. There's a saying in English called "the more, the merrier." The more people are involved in some project or some festive occasion, the merrier it becomes. You know, you have to try to have a party with two or three people. It's not so exciting. But when there is a large group enjoying themselves in different ways, then it becomes interesting. It becomes everyone. It's hard to stop the contagious feeling of the merriment. So, like this, Krishna has expanded himself to create a very, very intense and blissful environment with lots and lots of different types of people. Krishna creates many different types of flowers. Let me see, like this. And they're very beautiful. Each one has different fragrance. Each one has different shape and form. And they're very lovely. So Krishna also creates many different mentalities, spiritual mentalities, in his living entities. And each one serves a specific function in relation to Krishna. It's just like we generally don't like to eat the same food every day. Of course, Khichdi is a little different. Khichdi is very wonderful. Every day it tastes a little different. But generally we like to have some variety. So Krishna is like this also. He enjoys variety. Prabhupada said there's variety is the spice of life in the spiritual world also. So we can understand that Krishna has created he's created these different sense organs, the eyes, the nose, the mouth. He's created them for pleasure. The pleasure of the living entity. It's there. He gives them to us. He could have perhaps left off the nose. He could have just left off the nose, and then there would no sense of smell. So many different animals, they get by without any sense of smell. The ants have a very intense sense of smell. They can smell sugar. It's hard for us to smell sugar, but they can find sugar just by the smell. So different things are there. Sometimes we can get by also with eyes. We see some animals don't have eyes. There was a bat that came to my room the other day, small little bat. And so the bat flies around with sonar, with radar. He makes a little sound, and it bounces off of the wall, and he understands where to go, and without hitting the wall, he can drive. But he's blind. You know that expression, blind as a bat. So like this, there's different living entities that have different limitations. But Krishna's given the human form. He's given generally this human form with the full limitation, or with the full range of senses. And these are all, as Prabhupada says, for pleasure. These can be utilized for sense enjoyment, these various holes in the body. So our Krishna consciousness activity is to use all these senses in Krishna service. So when we analyze our lifestyle, the kind of life that we live here in the service of the Supreme Lord, we see all of these different senses are utilized. The sense of smell is there, offering very nice foodstuffs and flowers to the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. We see that the sense of color, beautiful garments, are decorating the Lord's. You have one of the most beautiful displays of outfits here that I've ever seen in any temple. Everything is very, very tastefully done, very beautifully done. So you're very fortunate in that respect. Your eyes can become delighted every day. Two times every day you can see the Supreme Lord in different outfit, different clothes. It's very, very exciting, very wonderful. But like this also, the sense of speech is there. So we're giving class and we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're doing so many different things. The speech is utilized in the service of the Lord. And this makes us happy and satisfied. This is the proper use. Speech that does not offend. Speech that is not derogatory. Speech that is not, demeaning or abusive. So many types of speech are there in the material world that are on the negative side of things. But in devotional service, Jaya, glory to the worships. In devotional service, we avoid as much as possible any negative commentary. It is generally, a devotee generally becomes quiet when something is negative, when he sees some situation that is negative. It may require some comment, but generally correction of misbehavior in devotional service in the society of devotees is done by taking someone aside. It is not done by gossiping or pointing out to a mass of people that this person has made some mistake. So sometimes people cannot understand this. They're of the mood that whatever mistake one makes, it should be published in the media, in the newspaper, in the television, on the internet, and blown up to great, great proportions so that everyone feels very, very unhappy with this person. So like that, if you've ever had that happen to you, it can be very disconcerting. But this is not a devotional characteristic. Krishna, he knows everyone's faults. Janaka Pandit says, it's not good to advertise your own faults. Krishna knows everyone's faults, but it is not necessary to advertise them, unless of course it's necessary to protect someone. So we're having this this effort, we're making this effort to speak and sing, to smell, to see, to hear. Recently in Mayapur we're talking about chanting. And the chanting process, everyone's asking questions, how can I chant better, how can I chant more clearly? And Pankajanari, he made a very nice comment. He said, our concern is not so much with the chanting, but the hearing. Actually, that's the first step, hearing and then chanting. So, of course, we have to speak in order to hear, but one should definitely hear. You can chant very, very nicely, every syllable pronounced carefully, but if your mind is somewhere else and you're not hearing, then there's less effect. So this is our concern now in Krishna consciousness as we're going into practically third generations. In Alacho era, I'm living. There are many young people, and they have children, and their children are going to school. And it's quite wonderful to see, very beautiful young children. They're very devotionally inclined, very interested in Krishna service. And they're very different from the ordinary types of kids that you see here and there, who are essentially spoiled by so much sense gratification and so much television, so many different horrible stories. They're projected on them all the time. Violence is projected on them all the time. So the children are different. Our Krishna conscious children are different. So we're entering now the third generation, and these children are learning to chant very sincerely, very carefully, and hear. So we're looking forward to a process of reformation of the whole world. And it's possible. It's not impossible. When I first joined the movement, we thought, well, in 10, 20 years, we'll take over everything. But immaturity was rampant. Immaturity was there, and it was not possible to make such strides. But many organizations, sometimes you see in business they have a business that goes on for generations, and one son after another, one daughter after another, they increase the business, increase it. So like this, the ownership is there, the founder is there, but the increase is going on. Because everyone in the family is taking this business seriously. So we have to also recognize our family, our ISKCON family of devotees, and take the purpose, the goal of the spiritual master, the founder Acharya, to take that in stride and do everything we possibly can to pursue that and make that fructify, to make that goal become realized in the world. So here in Bombay, it's so amazing. You're building so many big temples in this vicinity, in this area. It's very, very inspiring. So although you have a very wonderful community here, the idea is expansion, and having more people trained to worship the deity, to come to Krishna consciousness, to practice Krishna consciousness, to hear and chant. So this is a manifestation of Krishna's expansion, his expansion ability. And at this point in history, we're getting this wonderful opportunity to participate in this Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya's movement is said to go on for 10,000 years, a golden age of God consciousness. So we can work towards that. We can all work towards that and play our little parts. And then once the part is played, once one gets to the age of a final retirement, not so-called retirement where one just sits and watches TV, but the final retirement where one leaves the body and goes on to the spiritual world, well, we have that wonderful retirement program. So many different businesses, they have a retirement program for you. They give you so much money. In the place where I live, there is one place nearby called Penny Farms in America. Is a big store called J.C. Penney's. So he bought land in Florida, and he would send his executives and so forth to retire there. And they had golf course and all these different things, swimming pool and nice apartments and so on, houses if they wanted. So like that, we have a retirement plan in the spiritual world, which actually we can access even before the passing, even before passing this body. We can access that spiritual world, that understanding of what is going on in that spiritual world. It was such a nice class yesterday, Bhakti Charu's understanding and appreciation and realizations about how the living entity in his subtle body, he actually becomes part and parcel of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, even though his apparently gross body is still here in the material world. So like this, we can move in that direction. That's available for each and every one of us. It is not that one has to be a big administrator or guru to achieve success in Krishna consciousness. Simply acting in a humble, simple way. Lord Chaitanya's favorite person was Kolavet Shekhar, who simply made little leaf pots. You know, leaf pots are so insignificant, you know. But he gave his money, half of his money, to the Ganges, to worshipping the Ganges. So amazing. So Lord Chaitanya used to tease him. So sometimes I think in the project that I'm putting together that I'm being teased in different ways. So we may feel like that sometimes. So Krishna is teasing us. Authority is saying, do this, do that, go here, go there. And we're wondering, is there any real progress being made? We're sometimes wondering, am I actually advancing in Krishna consciousness? I still have thoughts of sense gratification. I still have thoughts to enjoy, separate from Krishna. I'm still attracted to different things. So we wonder, is it really happening? Is there any advancement in my Krishna consciousness? But practically speaking, we can see that these moods are very, very, how do you say? They're practically instantaneous. They happen just for a few seconds. We don't dwell on them for days and days. They just happen for a few minutes. Some doubt, some unclarity comes into our mind. So we can defeat that, again, by staying in association of devotees. The association of devotees is so important. It's a merry group. The famous outlaw Robin Hood, he had what they call a merry men. They were very happy. They lived in the forest, and they were very satisfied to just clown around and play tricks on each other, and then steal from rich people and give to the poor, like that. What were some question? But at any rate, the merry men were there, and of course that is maybe fable or what. But in Krishna consciousness, we see the brahmacharis dancing every morning. They are really merry men. They're really very happy. And this merry atmosphere, this happy atmosphere, is here for us in Krishna consciousness to take advantage. It is not that one has to pay a lot of money to come here, and like so many places, so many yoga groups, they have opportunity. You can come away for a weekend and spend $1,000, $500 like this for your room and so forth, and you'll get some food and you'll get some yoga exercise and so forth. You pay a lot, and then you have to go back to your life, your mundane life. But like this, no, we have an opportunity here for devotees to come and be part of the Krishna consciousness movement, and day after day, hour after hour, they can work for Krishna. They can make Krishna the essential aspect of their life. Essential means that which is completely necessary. So like this, these different doors of the body, they're not so necessary. Some of them not so necessary. One can still be Krishna conscious if he's blind, or if he doesn't have a nose, or perhaps the mouth is necessary. But one can be Krishna conscious without having all these different holes and senses, without satisfying, for instance, the genital. It's not necessary to satisfy the genital in order to be happy or satisfied. Actually, the satisfaction of the genital comes from control of it, from using it only for the purposes that are described for procreation. And if one is not interested in those things, then there's no problem, no use, and there's no suffering as a result. There's no suffering as a result that someone is thinking, oh, I'm not getting sex, I'm not getting sex. This only happens in material society where people have given themselves fully to the malicious lies of the advertisers. Advertisers constantly trying to present you with the idea that you have, you must become sexually attractive. You must do your hair in this way. You must brush your teeth in this way. You must wear certain clothes. You must have a certain kind of car. That these things are all essential for you to become attractive living entity and attract the opposite sex. But in Krishna consciousness, we don't have that problem. Prabhupada was asked once, why our cars, we had cars in America. And quite often, maybe this is the early days. Now I think you take better care of your cars. But in the early days, the cars were usually banged up and sort of dirty and funky, and they would just drive for hours and hours to go someplace and do sankirtan. And no one cared very much about the cars. So one man made a comment to Srila Prabhupada about this. And Prabhupada said, my boys have given up sex desire. They've given up the desire for sex life. So they don't care about these things. It's not essential. The Prabhupada said once also, he said, you're all abadutes. You're abadutes. But please put on nice tilak. Please wear nice tilak. So we're working in this regard to become pukka devotees, pukka brahmins, serious about the living in the mode of goodness and pursuing our commitment to our spiritual master. This is our goal in our life. It's very important to have understanding of what is my goal. My goal is essential. In order for me to be satisfied in life, I have to have some understanding of where I'm going. Everyone wants to know that. We wake up in the morning and we know it's time to go to the temple. So we go first to the bathroom and clean ourselves, and then we work. We go to the temple. We have that goal every morning. So this simple little goal, this presents to us an understanding of where we want to be and where we want to go. And so understanding when we come and see the deity that I want to go back to Krishna is important. It's not that I'm just here and spaced out. Not that I'm just here and wondering what's next, when do I eat, and so forth. But I'm actually working towards going back to Krishna, being with Krishna in the spiritual world, and dancing and playing with him, being teased by him and teasing him. This is our birthright. This is our constitutional position. In the material world, if a young man has a rich parent and the parent dies, he's very concerned. Where's my inheritance? What is coming to me like this? So we should also be concerned. This is our birthright. This is our inheritance. And if we have intelligence, we'll seek to pursue that inheritance. And what's necessary is, of course, to become ingratiated to the Father, to the Supreme Lord. I was reading ahead because this goes on for some time, and I struck one verse that I thought would be very nice to read. The living entity is exactly like a dog who, overcome with hunger, goes from door to door for some food. According to his destiny, he sometimes receives punishment and is driven out, at other times receives a little food to eat. Similarly, the living entity, being influenced by so many desires, wanders in different species of life according to destiny. Sometimes he is high, sometimes he is low. Sometimes he goes to the heavenly planets, and sometimes to hell. Sometimes to the middle planet, and so on. But these are talks between Narada and King Prachinabari. So we should always be aware of this, that this is our alternative, to wander around in the material world like a dog, and go from one thing to another, increase our wealth, increase this way and that way, and then lose everything, and then fall into lowest degraded species. It's very unfortunate. Sometimes you see on the street people who have not washed in some time. They're simply leaning against the wall. They're in desperate, degenerated position. So like that, the living entity can become totally degraded. It can go to hell, or it can become very elevated in material life. Wealthy man, businessman, politician, and so forth. But those are not our goals. Those are not our objectives. Our objective is to, again, play with Krishna, to be Krishna's friend, to be Krishna's consort, his lover, to be his, how does one say, his close ally. In the material world, people form allies. This is my friend, and he helps me, he does this for me, and that for me. So allies are important. You hear that term so much when there's a war. People try to create allies so that they can help in the war, like this, against another foe, an enemy. So we're creating so many different allies, but we must make Krishna our main ally. This is dependence on Krishna. This is essential for our development in Krishna consciousness, to depend on Krishna. So I'll stop here, and if there's any questions or comments. Guruji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Jai. How can I serve you?
See this, even in householder's life, that is in grihastha ashram, it is meant for only procreating Krishna conscious children. Suppose the devotee couples use sex for other than Krishna procreating Krishna conscious children, will that per se amount to sin, or only their spiritual progress is arrested?
Does it arrest their spiritual progress? Does it? Is that your question? Does
it
arrest?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or it amounts to sin?
Of course it does. Because the business of a devotee is to understand aham brahmastami. I'm spirit soul. I'm not this body. So all of this information King Paranjan is getting about the different holes in the body, this is for karmi. This is for someone who is interested in utilizing the body for sense pleasure. And our business is to utilize the body for Krishna consciousness. So if one is inclined towards sex enjoyment, and he works in that way with his wife is inclined like this, then there is an arresting of the process of Krishna consciousness. We're not saying that they'll go to hell immediately. No, we understand Krishna is very tolerant. But the objective, you know, is delayed. The objective of becoming Krishna conscious and knowing that Krishna is my real source of pleasure. This is arrested. This is delayed. So therein lies the sin, as it were, a sin against oneself. You sin against yourself by delaying your progress in Krishna consciousness. Now some people, of course, they're not inclined towards a brahminical standard. And for the sudra, the regulative principle is marriage. You get married, that's it. It's not once a month for procreation, but you just get married. So like this, for different persons, as our movement expands, you're going to have in Vanashram Dharma, if that's incorporated, you're going to have people who are not on that platform of brahminical life. Not everyone is a brahmachari, you know. The ideal is that you become brahmachari and then you control your senses, and then when you enter into marriage, you continue to control your senses. And you have sex only for procreation. But not everybody's on that platform. But we don't exclude them from chanting Hare Krishna. We don't exclude them from giving offerings to Krishna. We're not such Brahmins that we're looking down on people. The brahminical culture is very, very receptive to everyone. It's very anxious to give instruction. It's very anxious to present the facts about Krishna to everyone. That's the brahminical culture. That's the part of it. That's the Vaishnav. As he's a friend to everyone. He's not demeaning this person. Oh, look, you're having sex. You know, this is no good. Like I said about the internet, people want to publish all this stuff on the internet or in the newspaper. If you look at the entertainment news on the, in the news, you find this person is having sex with that person and so forth. All of this is so inconsequential. We can understand that, okay, they're just delaying their spiritual realization. So when devotees fall into illicit sex, this is lamentable. But it's not something that we condemn in such a way that we want them to leave. Now obviously, if someone is coming and as they say, snaking the wives of others and so forth, then he has to be dealt with. But between husband and wife, those things are unfortunate. They're unfortunate. And the pleasure that is going on there is not a happy pleasure. It's not a long-lasting pleasure. And like any other material pleasure, it becomes, tainted with the fact that it's not Krishna conscious activity. For the materialist, who has no idea of Krishna, then he doesn't know. He's in ignorance. Ignorance for him is bliss. But for a devotee who knows a higher standard, then he's going to suffer from having the lower standard, for taking to the lower path. He's going to suffer like that. And so we try to come to a platform of a realization. In our lives, we come to a realization. That may take time for some people. It may take 20 years, 30 years. Immediately, it may be there from the very beginning, that the husband and wife live together happily, simply having sex for procreation. As the Gaur Govinda said, he had sex 7 times, and every time he had intercourse, his wife was pregnant, got her pregnant. So this is a great soul. He can do like that. He can have that potency. He doesn't want to fool around and have a dalliance in sex life. You know, a dalliance means that you play with it. You know, he doesn't want that. He wants to become self-realized. At the same time, he wants to have children, you know, to raise them in Krishna consciousness, to give them so that his wife can be secure, you know, so that they can take care of her. Like this. The purposes are there. The Krishna conscious purposes are there. And the purposes for sense gratification are there too. So you choose one. Actually, a devotee has to become adverse. And he has to become anxious to avoid sense gratification. That's part of our process. But the senses are there. You have to engage them in Krishna's service. There's no question about not engaging the senses. Otherwise, if they have no occupation, they become very agitated, very disturbed. But leaving off, avoiding those areas that encourage sense gratification, you know, topics about sex life and so forth. Keeping away from those things, pictures and so forth that encourage sex life. Having nothing to do with those things will quiet the mind. But if one goes and even just looking at the advertising signs, you see the men wearing the fancy clothes and so forth, and the women wearing the fancy clothes and the cosmetics. People fall in love with these signs. And then they want, where is mine? Where is my girl? Where is my boy? So we want to give that up. We want to give that business up and not be so concerned. In India, you have this very nice standard of marriage by arrangement. And so that's very practical. It's very practical. And then people are not so much agitated. They're not so much agitated for sex life. Sex life, it seems like, of course, you have in India, you have the Kama Sutra, you have so many different books about how to have good sex life. That's there. And somehow, it seems like a Western preoccupation, primarily. Not so much in India. But maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. Sure. Does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Prabhu, may I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, in your last lecture you mentioned Krishna Prema means only love for Krishna. Correct? Yeah. But love for Krishna also includes one's love for spiritual master and devotees of Krishna. Am I correct?
Yeah, Krishna and his associates. Yeah. That's right.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna's not he's not a megalomaniac. He only wants you to love him. No, he wants you to love his devotees, and he wants you to be surrounded by devotees. And that is what in the nectar of instruction, there is this whole idea of giving in charity to devotees, giving prasadam and so forth, exchanging love, loving exchanges with devotees. So this is there. Yeah. Everything, of course, what is a devotee? He's a servant of Krishna. So we see someone in that light, then we're also working towards Krishna. We're also serving Krishna. I'm serving this person because he's a devotee of Krishna, not because he's just some guy, you know, that I want something from. Other questions or comments? Yes. Maharaj?
How do you integrate Varnashram Dharma with Krishna consciousness? Because like what I'm hearing from you is like a devotee can also be a Shudra.
That's correct. Yeah, devotee can be a Shudra. We practice Daivi Varnashram, which is the Shudra, someone is doing Shudra work. He may be a very simple person doing very simple work, but he's also following regular principles, chanting like this. But he doesn't have the mental capacity to be a big manager or kshatriya or vaishya. He has a simple mentality. I mean, your actors and so forth, your dancers, these are sudras, these are sudra occupations. But because they're offering to Krishna, they become purified and they want to serve very nicely. They don't want to fall into the unregulated life of the ordinary sudra. And this is Daivi Varnashram. Daivi Varnashram means that the devotees are acting in the different capacities, but they're pure souls. They're working in that way. So, actually, Varnashram is there. It's out there. You can see it. You can see the rickshawwalas. You can see the merchants. You can see the policemen. You know, you can see the lawyers, supposedly Brahmins. Lawyers and doctors like that, they're there. And their business is, you know, the trade of those varnas, of those different varnas, the different kinds of works that they do are in those varnas. So we don't have to establish Varnashram. It's already there. But what we have to establish is Daivi Varnashram. This is the bringing everyone, the Sudra, the Vaishya, everyone, to the platform of devotional service. And that can be done. But for the most part, people are content with just their varna. They think that my work is all in all. That's everybody's mentality is like that. My work is all in all. Without me, the lawyer, you know, he can't do anything. The lawyer's thinking like this, the cobbler is thinking like this, the vaishya is thinking like this. Everyone's thinking, this is the topmost thing. In America, they say that the carpenters are God's people. Yeah, special. But, of course, there's all different degrees of good carpenters and bad carpenters. But people will say like that. The plumbers are God's people. You know, this is going on. But ultimately, we understand God's people are the devotees who are worshipping Krishna, who are chanting the holy names, who are spreading the glories of the holy names and telling others that their real happiness, their real pleasure in their life, in their eternal life, rests in Krishna, in God consciousness. That's our business. And if we perform that service for society, then we'll actually be true Brahmins. We'll be acting on that platform. And it's like, of course, there's a wonderful story, Suchihoi Muchihoi, the Brahmin and the cobbler, Narada Muni's going from going to see Krishna. For the cobbler, he has great faith. Whatever Krishna can do, he accepts. He can pass an elephant through the eye of a needle, the cobbler accepts. But the Brahmin's very puffed up. Oh, God can't do that. Krishna can't do that. No one can do that. So like that, we don't want to be that kind of Brahmin. Varnashram is not our objective. It is something that is already there, and we simply want to infiltrate it and make it more Krishna conscious, make it Daivi Varnashram. Good question? Yes. Yes.
It's not exactly in terms of the varna, but the ashram. The subject of discussion was about the ashrama. So if, from your presentation, means that the Shudra is not actually able to follow the Brahminical principle of the ashrama. So it means that at the same time you're saying that he's a devotee. Do you expect that he'd progress from that level.
Well, I didn't say the sudra was not able to follow. I said in general, sudras don't. In general, they don't. But if someone is a sudra and he becomes a devotee, then he can follow. It's not impossible for him to follow once he gets the higher taste. His work may remain sudra work. He may still make shoes, or he still may be a carpenter like that. His work may be sudra work, but he's following the principles. He's embraced Krishna consciousness. And so we don't consider him a sudra, we consider him a devotee. But if you look at him from one technical point, yes, he's doing sudra work, he's a sudra. But that's we can consider that a cruel judgment. You know, it's cruel. Oh, he's a sudra. Anyone who says that about someone who is actually following Krishna consciousness and chanting and hearing is cruel. You know, so we don't want to become the kind of Brahmin that's always looking down on someone else and saying, oh, "I'm Brahmin and he's this, he's that." You know, I should get some respect. I remember one time we went to one place, one man's office. We were in Dallas, and at that time we didn't have a copy machine. So we went to some man's office. He had given us permission to use the copy machine. So he came in while we were using the machine, and he was intoxicated. He'd been drinking at his lunchtime, and he wore a nice suit and all this sort of thing. And then he said, I'm Brahmin. And he took off his tie and pulled out his thread and so forth, you know. But he was obviously very intoxicated. In America, that is the fashion. The men go for lunch and they have several cocktails. Martinis. So like this, we don't care for that person's judgment. We don't care for that judgment. Oh, this person is sudra, we don't want to associate with him. No, we look at someone as a devotee or a non-devotee. He's following Krishna consciousness, or he's not following Krishna consciousness. That's our narrow vision. But we ultimately see everyone as a devotee, and has just forgotten their Krishna consciousness. We don't want to create. Prabhupada said, "Don't become isolated." You know, we're here on this platform, everyone else is down below, we don't want to associate. You know, don't become isolated like that. That is not the secret of his success. His success is he went to the lowest place. He was stepping over drunken people. He was dealing with hippies who were intoxicated, drug users. He was taking the very, you can say, dregs, the lowest scrapings of society, the dregs in a barrel. Sometimes there's dregs of the substance that was in the barrel. He was taking the lowest group and turning them into Vaishnavs. So he got a lot of criticism from this, from God brothers. Why is he doing like this? This is not good. This is not. He's making these malechas Brahmins. How is that possible? So we want to be like Prabhupada, with our hand out to everyone who wants to chant and become a devotee. Anyone who wants to pursue Krishna consciousness, we welcome that. And we don't make any judgment. Oh, he's a sudra, he can't come. You know. I like this. I saw in Delhi when I was there for 4 years, I was working on the project, the Glory of India project. And the people would work as sudras. They lived in the back of the temple. And at the end of the day, they'd be covered with cement and different dirt from working. And they would come and take bath, and they would soap themselves completely, and they would soap themselves twice. So this is clean, you know. So you can say, well, this man's a sudra, but he's clean. He's cleaning himself. So like this, we're also like that. We're low characters. We're all low characters. Anyone in material life, anyone who takes birth, you cannot say, I'm Brahmin. Temporarily, you may be. You may be born in Brahmin family, and you may have so many qualifications. But this is a temporary designation. If you are puffed up, then you have to take birth many, many, many times. That's what Krishna tells Narada Muni. The Brahmin and the cobbler, they both ask you the same question, what am I doing? So the Brahmin, he couldn't understand how Krishna could pass an elephant through the eye of a needle. He didn't appreciate the power of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna said, they'll also ask you how many births they're going to take. So the Brahmin, you tell him he has to take many, many, many births, many thousands of births before he becomes Krishna conscious, before he goes back to Godhead. For the cobbler, this is his last life. So we want to be on that platform seeing that someone who is a devotee, that he's working towards his last life. He's finishing up his business in the material world. This philosophy is an exit philosophy. You know, if you're in some place and it catches on fire, the first thing you think, how do I get out? How do I get out? So we're in that philosophy. We want to exit the material world. We're not trying to stay here and save it and make it nice and so forth. So this is our concern, that if we become puffed up and we start to see, I'm Brahman, this person's this, that, that's a big block for our mentality as far as going back to Godhead. It's a big block. One has to be a little flexible in his vision. If everything has to be like that, then you become like a fascist, you know? Like Hitler, he was had fascists. Everybody was like this or that, you know? And we don't want to be like that. We want to be magnanimous, giving to everyone. Prabhupada was so magnanimous, that's the lead. It's his lead that we want to follow. Does that answer the question? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.